Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, we're in a series, and if you're joining us today for the first time, we're glad you're here. If you're joining us online, couldn't make it to church today, we miss you, we love you, and I hope you have a great cup of coffee, have a blanket on in your lazy boy like my wife is today, and we're missing you. But we are in the series, it's called Christmas Moments, and this is kind of the wrap-up sermon of the series, and it's entitled The Journey to Bethlehem. But we've been talking about moments in the series. Life is not measured by time, life is measured in moments. And there's a lot of moments in your life, and many of them are memorable, and I would say to you or suggest to you that Christmas moments are some of the most powerful moments. I remember not getting a lump of clay at Christmas growing up. I remember the year I got my first Stingray bike with a sissy bar. And I remember when I finally was old enough to have a BB gun. And also when I finally made weight at 100 pounds. Boy, I wish I could go back there to then. And I could ride a motorcycle at that time. The famous theologian, maybe you've heard of him, Dr. Seuss, said this: sometimes you don't know the value of a moment until it becomes a memory. Sometimes you don't know the value of a moment until it becomes a memory. Roger Zerbe suffered early onset Alzheimer's disease. His wife, Becky, remembers a journal entry he left for her after a particularly troubling bout of forgetfulness. I picked up the journal on my pillow and read, "Honey, today fear is taking over. The day is coming when all my memories of this life we share will be gone. In fact, you and the boys will be gone from me. I will lose you even as I am surrounded by you and your love. I don't want to leave you. I want to grow old in the warmth of those memories. Forgive me for leaving so slowly and painfully." Blinking back her tears, she picked up her pen and wrote this: "What will happen when we get to the point where you no longer know me? I will continue to go on loving you and caring for you. Not because you know me or remember our life, but because I remember you. I will remember the man who proposed to me and told me he loved me. The look on his face when his children were born. The father he was. The way he loved our extended family. I'll recall his love for writing, hiking, and reading. His tears at sentimental movies. The unexpected witty remarks and how he held my hand while he prayed. I cherish the pleasure, obligation, commitment, an opportunity to care for you because I remember you." Wow. Two elderly women were discussing the problems of growing older. One commented, "The worst thing is when your memory starts to go. I've known you all of my life and I can't think of your name. What is it?" The second lady thought for a moment and said, "Do you need an answer right now?" Luke tells the story so well. If you have your Bibles or your tablets, if you're joining online, I would go there to Luke chapter 2. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Now, this was a prophetic, world-changing, history-altering moment. The world would never be the same again. In fact, that's how we write and know our date, AD. Amen? This followed 400 years of silence. There were 400 years where there was no prophetic word. There was no action of God. It wasn't like today where the Holy Spirit comes upon you when you are saved, when you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you belong to Him. The Holy Spirit only rested on a few, and maybe sometimes only momentarily. But now it's so different. You see, the last time God spoke was at the end of Malachi. There were 400 years. The Jewish people were waiting for the Messiah. In Malachi 4:6, it says, "And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers." Speaking of John the Baptist, Elijah that would come, and also of Jesus. Now, it's interesting in the Christmas story that the angels didn't announce the Messiah's birth to kings, to the elite, or to the powerful. That's where I would have gone, to the most influential influencers that there were at the time. But the angels make their announcement to the shepherds watching the sheep in the field at night. Why shepherds, would you ask? Good question. Some scholars believe that they were not ordinary shepherds in the fields. In fact, they might have been, please, this is conjecture, that they possibly were shepherd priests that were preparing sheep for the Passover, the sacrificial, paschal, perfect lamb that would be sacrificed, was probably raised in the Bethlehem area or region of Israel. But understand this, and you probably know this, normally shepherds were despised. There were four significant problems. Number one, they weren't allowed to testify in court. Now, maybe you have friends like this. I hope they're not too close. But if their mouth is moving, they're lying. This is how the shepherds were known. They rarely sold property because they rarely had property. When I was in Israel a couple of years ago, I saw some shepherd boys. They were rough. They were tough. They were really dirty. I was hunting javelina in the high desert in Arizona years ago, and I ran into, we were hunting off of Willie's Jeep. Yes, it was legal in Arizona. And we ran into a cowboy and Indian, and it wasn't the Lone Ranger and Tonto. They'd been living out of their saddlebag for over a month, it looked like. They hadn't had a bath or a shower, and they were really rangy, if you know what I mean. This is the way the shepherds were. They were ceremonially unclean because they were unclean. They touched animals all the time. They were social outcasts, the lowest of the low. And yet God chose. God sent his heavenly hosts and chose unpolished, unremarkable, uneducated shepherds to declare the greatest news in the history of the world. The Savior is born. And so what do? Look at verses 16 and 17 of this passage. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. And after seeing the baby, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And how did people respond? All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. They could not believe it. And what was their message that they shared? The virgin gave birth to a son and called him Jesus. He came to save his people from their sins. God reached down so we could be lifted up. I think I said last week that the only comparison that I could make was that we're the gnat and God is a human being, would be a human being in this metaphor, which breaks down really quickly. But there's this thing, I don't like gnats very much. In fact, I never wanted to become a gnat in my life. But imagine becoming a gnat so that you could save gnats. Now that's ridiculous, isn't it? Normally, we just kill gnats. But think about an eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing God that created the universe becoming a human being. Are you kidding me? And God took our sin so we could take his righteousness. He, by his grace, makes us right with him. God was born into poverty so that we could experience his spiritual riches, so that we could have a relationship with him. So know this, Christian. Know this, you who are far from God. No one is too far from God's reach. No one is too low for God's love. No sin is too great for God's grace. You are loved by an eternal God. God chose lowly shepherds on a remote hillside outside of a tiny Judean village. Why? Because God often chooses the unlikely to do the extraordinary, doesn't he? And how does Mary respond? Mary's kind of the most important person in the story because she gave birth to Jesus in this moment. In verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Can you imagine everything that went on? Sometimes you don't know the value of the moment until it becomes a memory. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered. When's the last time you pondered? I wonder what Mary pondered, don't you? What did she ponder? We don't even use that word very often in our culture today. Pondering. First, I think she pondered about God's promises from the past. Here she was, a part of the most important, most significant event that had occurred in the history of mankind. And you got to realize, and I've never given birth, but many of you have, few things are more memorable than giving birth. I was at both our children's births, and I'll never forget them. That moment when they said, it's a girl, it's a boy. There were times where we didn't know. And it was amazing. Micah 5:2 says it this way, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. Here she was in Bethlehem. Because of a census, not in Nazareth, where she probably would have preferred to have been. She had traveled when she was 9 months pregnant, possibly 70 to 90 miles. And this was her first child, not her fourth child, Ed. And imagine Joseph with this new young mother, about 15 years old, going to have her first child. Away from home. This was approximately a 10-day trip. Can you imagine? Or maybe she pondered Isaiah 7:14. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Perhaps she pondered, and I hope you ponder, God has always been with you. Even before you knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, even if you are far from God right now, God is with you. He is there. But also, she may have pondered God's peace in the present. Can you imagine being in the manger, having a child in a manger? I can't imagine. But Mary treasured up and pondered. In the middle of the chaos, there was peace beyond understanding. In that moment, it wasn't what she would have planned. It wasn't what she probably wanted, but she stopped, she paused, and she pondered. Isn't that amazing? In that moment. Now, I would challenge you to take a moment and ponder your life story of where you are in your story. And ponder that God has always been present, but God has always been faithful. And pause, because God has always been present. There are moments in our life that are tragic. There are moments in our life that are joyous. And at Christmas, it's always bittersweet. As a pastor, I cry with those that are crying, mourn with those that are mourning, I rejoice with those that are joyous, and it's a roller coaster ride like you would not believe. And emotionally, sometimes I'm worn. But understand, God is with us. He has not given us more than we can take, because he also provides the strength and his presence and his promises. His promises from the past that are with us today. God's peace in the present. He can give us that peace, but we have to look for it. We have to call upon him. We have to pray for it. We have to seek him. But third, God's power in the future. We can trust him. Whatever may come, whatever it is, he has power for us in the future. Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple to be dedicated on the eighth day, like the law said, dedicated and sacrificed doves. They met a prophet named Simeon who took Jesus into his arms, praising God. He'd been waiting for that moment in his life. And it says in Luke 2:34-35, he says, "And Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, 'This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. And as a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul.'" Now, as a newborn, a mother having a newborn, can you imagine? What do you think she heard out of all of that? A sword will pierce your soul. Isn't that where she would have went? Isn't that where we would go? There's no way Mary could have known in the moment what was coming ahead for her. You see, the world's greatest blessing was Mary's greatest heartbreak. And as parents, we understand this. We know this. The hardest thing for us to endure is to see our children suffer. It is so hard. Mary endured that. She stood at the cross. She watched her innocent son suffer and die for the sins of all humanity. When you're like Mary, you've served and you walked with God for years. You understand suffering, but also don't get lost there. Also take in the joy. You know God's been faithful in the past. You know God is good in the present. You know you can trust God in the future because he is with you. And I would challenge you to trust him with your future, no matter what may come. But remember, 3 days after her son died, God raised him from the dead. Can you imagine her joy in that moment? I would challenge you over the next few days to slow down and to reflect. Look for God in this moment. Are you hurting? God will be your comforter. Are you afraid? God will be your help in your time of trouble. Are you weak and overwhelmed? God will be your strength. Do you feel rejected? All alone? God will be your friend. He will never leave you. And he's with you now. Ponder it, embrace it, savor it, this moment. He is Emmanuel, God with us, and God is with you. Sometimes you don't know the value of a moment until it becomes a memory. Will you please stand as I pray? Eternal God and Father, we are grateful for the moments in our lives that you give. Father, for those that are joyous, and Father, for your presence and your strength in those moments that are so difficult and so hard for us. Father, for those that are far from you, that need to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we pray that, this would be that moment where they come to faith. Or that this would be the moment where they come closer to having a faith. Father, for the rest of us, we pray that, Father, we would see you in these moments. And as these moments occur, that realize that you are present in these moments always. There's a purpose and there's a plan. And Father, you are working out your will. And we pray that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That as we walk with you, as we live with you, with your purpose, Father, we would serve you most of all and first of all. Father, we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.